Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, welcome back to our show this Wednesday afternoon. We've got a lot going on here. The show has been just totally directed by a conversation that started in the first hour about the expressway that totally changed the neighborhood Treme, totally changed Claiborne Avenue. Claiborne Avenue was a beautiful avenue, much like St. Charles, with towering oak trees and azalea bushes and businesses. Treme is believed to be the oldest black neighborhood in America. And there was talk about putting an expressway along the riverfront, but at the time they determined that the best place to put it was where they put it. But it divided Treme in half. And there is money in Joe Biden's infrastructure plan to revitalize Treme. So we're kind of talking about what Treme used to be because I don't remember it. You know, I was a white kid that grew up in the suburbs, and I didn't know that much about Treme. And I guess if I would have really been paying attention, I would have, you know, maybe seen some of it. But I don't really remember much about that because it was not a neighborhood that I went to very often. So it's interesting to hear what it was like and to hear about the black businesses that were disrupted there. There have been conversations in the past about doing something about it. And I guess that's when I first realized that it used to be different than it is now. And I didn't realize that just divided this neighborhood up and changed the neighborhood completely, but it did. So, you know, it's good that there is some conversation about what could be done to maybe make it better now. Can that be moved? That seems like it would be an almost impossible task. So I don't know what the specific plan is, but at least there's talk about it. The other reason I bring this up is just to remind us that the impact on black Americans in general in this country, the impact of decisions was quite different than much of white America. And this was not that long ago. This was the late 60s. And this week we were talking about the Tuskegee experiment, where black men in Tuskegee, Alabama, were not treated for syphilis. So government medical researchers could see what happened to the human body if it wasn't treated for syphilis. They were an experiment. That did not end. That went on from 1932 to 1972. It was not that long ago. And so when you want to push all of this in the past and say, well, that was a long time ago, some of this stuff was not that long ago. And if we can bring things into perspective a little more, and if we can talk about things that affect people in a different way than we've been affected, then maybe we can better understand how people feel about things. The problem is we don't want to sit down and actually find out about each other. And so that's part of the mission of what we talk about in the afternoon. And then it's just been fun letting this just take off because the phone lines have just lit up. And then there was some information coming out about the tunnel in downtown New Orleans. And I'm just thinking about what traffic would sound like today. You know, the traffic guy here on WWL will be talking about Joshua Dausch will be talking about the Pontchartrain Expressway backed up to Carrollton, and the tunnel is backed up to Esplanade. The tunnel, there's a big tunnel. And apparently this was a possible solution to the expressway that was put through Treme. So if you know about the tunnel and you want to share some information with us, call us. Also, is there another secret about New Orleans that most people don't know about that you want to tell us about? so much history, and I'm sure there's a lot of hidden secrets in this city. The WWL Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Email address is scoot@wwl.com. Before we get to your calls, I want to share with you Stephen Colbert last night. He made fun of Joe Biden. I know. Many people just thought he's just nothing but a crazy liberal, and he's only going to bash Trump, and he's not going to ever bash Biden. I told you that the guy's going to go for comedy, and that comedy's the most important thing. And Trump was president. Trump gave them a lot to deal with, and they dealt with that. But they were not going to protect Joe Biden from comedy. So this was a cut of Joe Biden that was played on Stephen Colbert last night. And I want you to listen to his comment at the very end. But most importantly, listen to how Joe Biden rambles. I mean, it's like one subject after another after another. This is actual audio of Joe Biden, and then Stephen Colbert comments at the end.
Just don't ask me to play the piano or the organ. I can't. Don't know how. My father would say I have no talent at all. My dad used to play the saxophone, had a band when he was in high school. He'd look at me and say, Joey, I don't know where you came from. He said, you have two left feet, you can't dance. You can't carry a tune in a wheelbarrow. And then he's saying, you have no lip to play a reed instrument. But, you know, so I had to become president. You know what else to do?
I mean this with respect and admiration. I don't know if he knows where he is right now.
I mean, have you noticed that about Biden? And, you know, I've told you about this impression that Dana Carvey does of Biden. And he did it on a Stephen Colbert show. And it's not that he kind of sounds like Joe Biden, but the main thing is that he rambles. You know, it's kind of like, if I'm imitating Joe Biden, I do this radio show. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I mean, I'm not trying to be serious here. I do this radio show, and I got hit by this motorcycle, and I had surgery, and then I stayed to stay in my apartment. Then there was the pandemic, and then, you know, I had a dog that passed away. I mean, look, that's the way Joe Biden talks. I mean, it's kind of crazy. All right, let's get back to your calls. Let's go to Gentilly and Andy. Welcome to WWL. Thank you for hanging on.
Hi, Scoot. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I lived through I was a teenager when that happened on Claremont Avenue. And okay. It was a beautiful. One thing, two things. Directly across the street on St. Bernard from the Circle Food Store was Fats Domino's nightclub. Hmm. And you would always see his pink Cadillac with gold trim parked out front.
And you knew the fat man was in there?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The car was unmistakable. It was an icon in the black community to see that car on the road.
I can imagine.
Secondly, the devastation by that interstate was not only to Claremont Avenue, but it went through large portions of the 7th Ward and ruined neighborhoods, including mine, because the interstate passed right over my backyard, and we had to move. Funny story, my grandfather was born in 1902 in Treme. He was one of five children, and he was the youngest. His mother died early. When his father would go off to work, he would leave an older brother in charge, and the older brother would want to visit one of the sporting houses in Treme at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he would take my young grandfather, who couldn't go inside, of course, but he would have to sit on the outside on the steps. And while his brother was upstairs, some of the ladies who weren't engaged at the moment would come down and entertain Candy until his brother was done and they could go home.
That's interesting. Andy, let's just go back briefly to that time that you remember having to move. Tell me what you, how old were you at the time, and what were you feeling at the time? Did you think that, okay, this is all in the name of progress, or this really sucks?
Well, I was about 14 years old, Scoot. We had a wonderful, lovely neighborhood. Still have lifelong friends that I grew up with there. it was devastating because we all got scattered to the winds, you know, going different directions. We moved not too far from that area, and shortly after we moved, Hurricane Betsy hit. So we were like, you know, traumatized twice.
Wow, yeah.
But I have fond memories of that avenue and very fond memories of my neighborhood where I grew up.
Andy, I appreciate your call. Glad you're listening to our show. And again, I remind those of you who are new to New Orleans, look, I was born here. I grew up here. Spent most of my career here. I'm here. I'm back home. I don't remember Claiborne Avenue the way it was. So, you know, this is even new to me, who's a native New Orleanian. But if you're new to the city, you're kind of getting a little history lesson as to what it was like. And there's so much history to appreciate here. And this is one of the reasons why Treme was the setting for an HBO special. Wendell Pierce, the actor in Treme. And it was because this is a very, very famous historic neighborhood in New Orleans, believed to be the first African-American neighborhood in America. Let's go to Carol, who is in New Orleans. Hey, Carol, welcome. Hello, Carol. All right, let's put Carol on hold. We'll go to a break here, Ian. Wait, you were going to tell me something?
Yeah, I was on Treme. As long as you're rattling off all the famous people that are on Treme.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I had a guest starring role in season one, episode two.
Awesome. And what part did you play?
I played the role of Matt, who is a young volunteer who came down from Wisconsin to gut houses in the Ninth Ward, but then got some bad advice about where to go party from Steve Zahn.
Oh.
And in the Seventh Ward, right there on AP Toro.
Yeah.
And that was great. That was kind of my big break.
That's really cool.
I mean, I wouldn't call it a big break because...
it was a big break.
It was my break. It was my time.
Okay,
break.
So Wendell Pierce, Steve Zahn, and Ian Hoke were all in Treme.
Put my name in lights, baby.
Nice to know. All right, we're going to get back to some text messages and more of your calls. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the WWL Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. So because of segregation at the time, African-Americans were not permitted to shop in white stores. So this gave birth to the African-American Business District on Claiborne Avenue in Treme. And there were theaters and drugstores, insurance companies, restaurants, all kinds of stuff. And the Circle Food Store at the corner of St. Bernard and Claiborne, this was part of St. Bernard Circle. And this was a one-stop place for so many things, and that goes back to 1938. So that's why it was such a big deal when Circle Foods came back. And that's why it's such a big deal when there's any talk about revitalizing Treme, because of the history of this neighborhood. And the expressway that goes through there right now that you and I use all the time, that divided the neighborhood. I'm Scoot on the air. We'll be back on WWL. Maybe we could take that tunnel and turn it into a tunnel of love. The tunnel of love from Canal Street to Esplanade. Apparently this tunnel under New Orleans is big enough for a big semi to go through there. And then we had a call earlier, May, who used to be a security guard at the casino, and she says there's tracks down there. Any other secrets about New Orleans that we don't know about? All right, let's get back to your calls. Let's go to Pearl, who is in New Orleans. Hey, Pearl, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to our show.
Hi, Scoot. Glad to give you a call.
Thanks.
A couple of things I want to talk about.
Okay.
When Mitch Landrieu was the mayor... Mm-hmm. There was a study done to take down the interstate or to cut off the exits of the interstate on St. Bernard and Orleans Avenue. And I went to at least three or four of the meetings because I live in New Orleans East. And my concern was, if you take the interstate down, where is all of this traffic from the suburbs from Forest, Mississippi, Slidell, New Orleans East, going to go to get to downtown New Orleans.
Right.
One of the things they talked about was rerouting it through the 610. which is already backed up in the morning, and that would connect to the I-10 coming from Metairie. Now, imagine what that would. Now, the other thing that they talked about was in not tearing it down was to put commercial, like a strip mall, underneath the I-10 on Claiborne Avenue.
I see.
Now, I lived in that area for 40 years. I was there when it was all of the black businesses were there. I was there when the Mardi Gras was celebrated on Claiborne Avenue and all the things that we did on Claiborne Avenue. And that was disrupted, as everybody has already said, when the interstate came through there. Now, there are people who now live in the Treme and who would love to see that interstate torn down and it be brought into commerce. And the excuse that they use to bring it back to what it was. Well, you can't bring it back to what it was because the complexion of that area has changed. So you can't bring it back to where it was. You won't be able to bring it back to where it was. And I think that's just an excuse to political excuse to change it from what it is to something else.
Pearl, I agree with you. You couldn't bring it back to what it was because, you know what, if the interstate had never gone through there, Treme would have evolved over time, and Treme wouldn't be today what it was then, even if nothing had happened.
That's correct. It would be a different Treme.
Right. Right.
Now, on the other note, on the Canal Street Tunnel thing,
yeah.
I worked for the city from 1968 to 2005. And I don't remember which mayor it was because I worked under at least five mayors. But one of them was entertaining the idea of putting commercial development in a tunnel below Canal Street.
Mm-hmm.
And that might have been around, I'm just going to guess, it might have been around the 70s or maybe even as late as the 80s. But, of course, that never materialized. But there is a tunnel that goes under Canal Street as well.
It's just so fascinating.
How far under Canal, I don't know.
Pearl, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us.
My pleasure.
Hi, I'm glad you're listening to the show. You know, there was a place in Atlanta, underground. Remember Underground Atlanta? Underground Atlanta. What about Underground New Orleans? All right, so if the tunnel's there, I mean, look, New Orleans kind of has this image of being kind of, a lot of things are underground here. Not literally, but figuratively. So maybe underground New Orleans. It'd be like shopping, retail, bars, restaurants. I don't know. It could be kind of cool. And maybe even make it a little spooky, you know, like the mystique of the French Quarter. Let's go to Big John in New Orleans. Hey, Big John, thanks for hanging on. Welcome.
You just scooped me with that underground Atlanta thing and the tunnel, okay?
Well, you say it your way. Because nobody's going to say it like you. So what do you think of the idea, Underground New Orleans?
Hey, it was supposed to be that when Harris moved in. Okay, but let's get to the history of the tunnel. The tunnel was used to tunnel slaves in from the Mississippi River and bring them to Pierre Mesparrow's on St. Louis in Charters, and that's where they would sell the slaves. It was a slave exchange. It's still the sign still says slave exchange.
Well, I got the impression that it's not that old.
Oh yes, it's that old. It is that old. Trust me. Get your New Orleans history. Go to New Orleans collection on Broad Street, and you'll find out. Okay, the historic New Orleans collection will tell you. Now, getting to the tunnel and the slaves and being sold, the history of New Orleans goes to Treme, because from Rampart to the Bayou and from Canal Street to Esplanade was Claude Treme's plantation. When he died, he left all of that land, most of that land, to his slaves, believe it or not. And that's how it became known as the area known as Treme. Now, black folks owned land in Treme for years. 164 families were moved out of Treme to build Armstrong Park, which never came to development because it was supposed to be like Trevola Park in Switzerland with a Ferris wheel. They're supposed to have rides and the canals in there. They were supposed to put up 31 flavor ice cream plates. Everything was like a carnival. It was supposed to be like Trevola Park in Switzerland. That never came about in a black neighborhood. But 164 families, homeowners, lost their homes and everything.
So they built a park, and they removed these homes, and they built a park there, which was to serve that area.
And demand, what do you call it? If they didn't sell, they were going to take it?
Yeah, it's like a public domain.
Public domain, they were going to take it. Okay, that was during the Landrieu, the Daddy Moon Landrieu time.
Okay.
They built the main center. They gave the community, it wasn't for the community. They gave it to the community, that Treme Center, where the kids go and play now. But that was a gift from them. The park would have never been developed, no way. Okay, because it's right outside the French Quarter. It wasn't for us. The Treme, the Orleans and Claiborne was a mecca of black businesses, right there, just in that cross section. Not counting going all the way down to the Circle Food Store.
I'm learning that. Hey, Big John, thanks for all your knowledge and your history.
Hey, I'm here to tell you, baby. If you want to know, ask me. I'm a historian.
Well, man, you call us anytime, Big John. And look, I want everybody to remember where you're hearing this conversation. You know, we're having this conversation about Treme, you know, on this show, Scoot on the Air on WWL, 870 AM, 105.3 FM, and the app is Odyssey. Audacy. Download the app Odyssey and just type in WWL. And I want you to remember where you're hearing the conversation. Let's go to producer Ian Hoke with a couple of your text messages.
Here's a text that says, Google 716 Dauphine Street, also known as Sultan's Palace.
Sultan's Palace.
And I know a little bit about Sultan's Palace because my girlfriend's a ghost tour guide, and this is one of her stories.
Okay.
I was waiting on a client one morning outside and was drawn to the steps of the property for some reason. When I read the history later that night, I had one of those whoa moments. Read up on it.
Really? Sultan's 716 Dauphine Street.
716 Dauphine Street.
Crazy Sultan's story. Palace.
True story. Maybe a little bit of like embellishment for ghost tour guide purposes. But,
maybe so.
But, you know.
Yeah, we're talking about other secrets around New Orleans that some people don't know about.
Kick-ass folklore there. A bit about the trees that were pulled off of Claiborne, North Claiborne. Yeah. All the trees from Claiborne were moved to City Park, Audubon Park, and some of them went to St. Charles Street.
But I would think that some of those trees were too old to move. I mean, even at the time, those trees could have been, you know, a couple hundred years old, right?
Yeah, but then... I mean, I don't know what I don't know about how easy or difficult it is to move a big tree like that. But to your point, like a very big, mature oak tree like that, worth a lot of money. And if you're, you know, Alfred Pennypacker on St. Charles Avenue or whatever, you might pay a lot of money for a big, beautiful tree like that.
I mean, I guess so. If you could dig it up, you know, maybe there's we ought to call, we ought to get Dan Gill, who does it, gardening show. WWL can even answer that question because I don't know. I mean, how big would you have to? I mean, are like oak tree roots, are they shallow? Do they not go deep? I mean, again, I don't even know if you could dig up the oak tree. But look, that's a great thought. If they did go to Audubon Park and City Park, that's great.
At least somebody got them. Here's a text that says, if you went through Katrina, most people. Oh, wait. No, I'm reading. Oh, this is from. Oh, no, I see what's happened here. Here's a text about the tunnel. And it says, Ian, the end of the tunnel has a weed farm in it, like Pineapple Express.
Really?
The film Pineapple Express, I think it's called.
Oh, Pineapple
Express. What's his name? That's a stoner actor guy. James Franco. Yeah.
So they're growing weed in the tunnel?
There's a giant underground weed farm? Like, we could look out the window right now. We're just a couple hundred feet away from that.
Yeah,
but it's underground.
It would have to have artificial lighting because of the weed. You know what they could grow down there? Maybe we could start selling mushrooms.
Yeah,
we could have a mushroom farm. New Orleans' second big industry is we've got tourism, and then you know the other big industry, oil and gas, and then now we've got the mushroom trade.
Mushrooms, man, we just gave away a $1 billion idea on a 50,000-watt blowtorch radio station. We got to be more careful. We got to play that stuff more close to the chest.
Mushrooms. Yeah, last night, Stephen Colbert mentioned an idea that he had, and he didn't want anybody to see. He said, nobody should steal this. But he was talking about the relationship that Uber could have with legalized marijuana, and it could be called Duber. The new ride service. All right, so look, for those of you who are not familiar with pile driving, because this came up a little bit earlier, Ian, do we have the pile driving? Okay. For those of you who are kind of new to the area, and then I'm sure everybody here knows this, but even in the suburbs, you know, because our land is so soft and we've got so much water underneath us, they have to drive pile these pylons into the ground to build the foundation upon that and not just the ground because we sink so much. So people were talking about how they spent years listening to the pile driving when Treme was being divided by the interstate. And somebody even let us know that in the LSD scene in the movie Easy Rider, the LSD scene in the cemetery, you can hear pile driving in the background, and that's the pile driving from the building of the expressway through Treme. We're learning all kinds of things today. All right, if you've got a comment, the WWL Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. I think these conversations are worthwhile because it kind of brings us up to date with a lot of tension that has existed. And some of that tension exists because some people don't think that you understand what they went through or what it was like for them. And so the more we understand, the better we have of solving the problems. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Change is the basis of everything. And, you know, some people are really afraid of change and they really resist it. Not because it's not going to be better, but because they resist it just because it's change. You know, I've got to correct myself. Every time I've said this afternoon, public domain, when it comes to the government taking property, I'm thinking to myself, no, that doesn't sound right. So I just looked this up during the break. I'm thinking about eminent domain. And eminent public domain means that something just belongs to the public. You know, like the song Happy Birthday. That's an example of public domain. And I think the Star Spangled Banner is public domain. So there's no trademark or anything attached to it. Eminent domain is the right the government or its agents have to take private property for public use if it benefits the public with payment of compensation. Let's go to Colleen. Colleen, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot. I'm on my way to the dentist, so I'll make this quick.
Okay.
I'm chairman of the Live Oak Society, and regarding all those trees that were removed from Claiborne,
yeah,
there was a lady. I'm not at home, so I can't research her name, but I have it all down at home. There was a lady who had access to drainage, to big equipment and all, and she, I think it was connected with the Janky family. And she had many, many of those live oaks dug up and moved. They're living out in Lakeview. She had them moved and replanted. It can be done. It's very, very expensive. But this lady, in the goodness of her heart, did all of that.
So that's good.
They do exist in Lakeview around the Oriole Street area.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to know the trees lived on. And Colleen, listen, good luck at the dentist, okay?
Thank you.
All right. I appreciate that information. You know, it doesn't matter what we talk about. Somebody's listening to this show always has an answer to no matter what comes up. It's just, it's amazing. Let's go to Mid-City. Jeff, thank you for hanging on, and you're now on WWL.
Hey, boy, a little information can be a dangerous thing because everything you touch on, I know a little bit about.
Okay.
When I was Live Oaks, when I was renovating a house, I wanted to put a curb cut in. Let's go there. It was illegal. I admit it. Let's move on. I needed to cut through some live oak roots, and I checked with an arborist, and they told me live oaks have very shallow root systems. Think about hurricanes. When they get tipped over, you can see there's only maybe four or five feet of root that comes up. And the roots extend as far as the tree goes out. But if you dig up enough of it, you can move them.
So you wouldn't have to get, that? I mean, the tree could live if you got enough of the roots that spread out, but you wouldn't have to get all of them to keep it alive.
Cool. Right. They're very resilient from what this arborist told
okay.
me. It's true. So we cut through these big surface roots, and you couldn't – in fact, the tree's growing better than ever. The tunnel. Your guy was early wrong. It was not built for underground slavery. There's a lot of myths going on about that tunnel. All you have to do is Google tunnel underneath Rivergate, and it'll give you all a bunch of articles all about it. But
okay.
it was built in 66. The whole idea actually started by an architect named Moses, who was planning for the entire country, the interstate system back in the late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And this was part of it. The Pontchartrain Expressway and the Mississippi River Bridge were also part of that plan. Those went through, but the expressway didn't because of the fight over preservationists and all that. But the tunnel only goes from Poydras to Canal Street. And it was like a steel and concrete box that was literally submerged under it because the soil wouldn't, you couldn't pour into it. And mm-hmm. that sinkhole in Canal Street was the top of it. Some of the timbers or something like that rotted out. So that sinkhole went right into what was left of the tunnel.
And because when I saw that sinkhole on Canal, it's like going, it was like this giant opening.
Right, and it went right down into what was left of the tunnel. But the tunnel only went from Canal to Poydras.
Okay.
They never built just so that they could put the river gate on top of it and not have to dig up later when the expressway went through. And the lady was right. It is used for valet parking. And if I'm not mistaken, the money counting house is also down in there because it's very secure.
That's fascinating. Hey, Jeff, thanks for that information.
That's all the truth. And then as far as the expressway, I live in that neighborhood. Over St. John, and every time I drive home, I go, I cannot believe they put this expressway down this beautiful street. And that's
really?
All I got.
So you remember what it was like?
No, I don't, but I can't believe that they did that.
Oh. Well, I didn't know that either, and I was born here, and I just didn't know the history, so, you know, shame on me, but it's not like I resist history. It's just that it never really came up, and it's interesting to put all of this together now, and we're talking about this because President Biden's infrastructure plan includes money
right.
to rejuvenate Treme, which was interrupted with the government project of putting the I-10 right through the Black Business District and dividing it Treme. Jeff, I really appreciate your information.
You're welcome. Always good talking.
All right. Thanks a lot. So, I mean, this has been fascinating. I mean, you know, I love to discover new things, and it's exciting to me when the show takes a totally different direction. Because if it's not planned to me, then it's fun and exciting. And it was really fascinating because I set out today to talk about three different topics, unlike most days where it's, okay, we're talking about this at one, this at two, and this at three. Well, all that got blown out of the water. When the phones just lit up and talking about the expressway going through Treme in the late 60s and the impact that that had on that neighborhood. So we'll talk about those other topics, transgender minors, getting parental consent for any kind of therapy or surgery involving their gender identity, and legalizing pot in the state of Louisiana. All right. It was on this day in 1994, Courtney Love was arrested on drug and theft charges. At the time she was arrested, she was not aware that her husband, Kurt Cobain, had committed suicide. In fact, when she was arrested on this day in 1994, Kurt's body was lying dead in their home. Kind of strange. The body was not discovered until April the 8th, which is tomorrow. So we'll talk about that on the show tomorrow afternoon. And we'll do a little backstory into Kurt Cobain and some things that led to his suicide. It may not have just been drugs. And what I resented, because I thought the grunge sound was really cool. And what I resented was so many in my generation just totally dismissed Kurt Cobain and Nirvana and all of those bands. And it was almost like Kurt Cobain deserved it. Look at his life. He deserved it. He had it coming. And I thought that was very inappropriate. Also, it was on this day in 2001, Paul McCartney bought the Beverly Hills home of Courtney Love for almost $4 million. You know, can you imagine some of the stuff that you might find in Courtney Love's home if you bought her home? Man, they had to have one hell of a cleaning service. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. he was the first, and maybe he is still the only rock star who has won a Pulitzer Prize. On this day, April the 7th, 2008, Bob Dylan won an honorary Pulitzer Prize for his, quote, profound impact on popular music and American culture, believed to be the first rock musician ever to win a Pulitzer Prize. An impact on pop culture. And he was a poet. He was an activist. He was a political commentator more than he was a singer. All right, we've got another code word coming up here in just a couple of moments. I want to give special thanks to our senior studio producer, Ian Hoke, today, because when we get a lot of phone calls, Ian is extremely, extremely busy. So, Ian, thank you for the job that you did. And I want to thank our program director, Diane Newman, our market manager, Kevin Cassidy, and our show producer, Todd Manessis. Also, join me on Instagram tonight, Scoot on the Air. I'll be live on there a little bit later on. And we are going to have a lot to talk about on the show tomorrow afternoon. We'll talk about Kurt Cobain and kind of the backstory there and transgender stuff and a lot of things. It's time for the $1,000 Audacity Odyssey National Cash Contest code word. The code word this hour is audio. Text AUDIO, audio, to 72881. Text audio, AUDIO, to 72881. And you could win $1,000 in the Odyssey National Cash Contest. Next code word is going to come up during sports talk, coming up next with Christian and Bobby Hebert, right before the top of the hour news at 5 o'clock. We never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates may apply. And please don't text and drive. Thank you for being part of our show. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.